I'm Dan Hughes in the softball corner. Last time, we went over the new ASA rules that will become effective on January 1st, 2012. This time, let's look at some of the proposed rules that made it to the discussion stage but didn't get enough votes to pass. What's the point of looking at rule proposals that failed? Well, some of them will probably be back on the table next year, so you're getting a good heads up on the future of the ASA. And some of them are just downright funny. A grand total of 37 new rules were proposed and 11 of them were adopted. That means 26 new rules were turned down. Well, not really, because a few of them were combined into the new rules and a few of them were for fast pitch and wouldn't have affected our slow pitch game. Let's take a look, then, at the slow pitch rules that failed. First, there was a proposal to formally define a batter. Here you go. An offensive player officially becomes the batter when their team is scheduled to bat and A, when their name is listed first on their team's batting lineup and the umpire has indicated play should begin to start the game, B, when the previous batter has completed their turn at bat and the umpire has indicated play should begin to continue the game. Now, why was that rule turned down? Well, aside from the grammatical problems with pronoun antecedents, I think the rule was probably deemed unnecessary. Try as I might, I cannot envision an argument over whether the man at the plate is a batter or not. Number two, and I can see this one coming back, the batter's box is now 3 feet wide. The proposal would have widened it to 4 feet. The rationale was that the chalk lines of the batter's box are obliterated by the first few batters of the game, so the umpire can't tell when a batter is out of the box anyway. Evidently, a lot of players step outside the 3-foot limit, because a big tournament was played this year on AstroTurf, with the batter's box painted on so scuffing wouldn't make it go away, and lots of batters just couldn't stay in the box. And who's going to enjoy a game where every other batter is called out because he stepped outside the box? Next, the yellow ball would have been mandatory for all softball divisions. It's already mandatory for most of us, but fast pitch and 16-inch ball still use the white ball. This would have made them use the yellow ball too. Now here's one I've never seen happen, but I guess it could. In the event that there are two out with the bases loaded and the batter is walked, the runner from third automatically scores. Well, yes, he does, but the rule would negate this situation. If one of the other runners, not the one on third, goes to his awarded base and then goes past it and is tagged out before he returns, and the runner on third has not yet gotten to home, then the base runner's out would be the third out of the inning, and the runner at third's run would not count. This rule would have made that run count even if the other base runner was tagged out. But it did not pass. This next one would have saved a lot of trouble for base runners. Namely, bases loaded, score tied, bottom of the seventh, and the batter hits an over-the-fence home run or walks. The runner on third would have to touch home plate. The batter would have to touch first base, but the other base runners could just walk back to the dugout celebration without touching their next bases. And the last one we'll look at this time is the home run limit rule. A proposal was made that the home run limits in C-ball be lowered from 4 to 3, and the home run limits in D-ball would be lowered from 2 to 0. I'm thinking that would have moved a lot of players up from D to C real fast, but it didn't pass. Next time, we'll look at the rest of the rules that didn't make it. Thanks for listening. For tips on pitching, fielding, and coaching adult slow-pitch softball, visit my website, slowpitchbook.com. In the softball corner, I'm Dan Hughes.